But let's just trust the Holy Spirit, go where he leads us to go, and at least introduce this. I want to start a new series. And you know, I think it might be more of an introduction. We'll see. But this new series is called Know Your Enemy. And you know, we started this year off talking about how we need to have faith. And as Linda said, you know, and I spoke, you know, that about even Curtis, and you know, the devil will try to come in and rob you from what you have had. That's not incorrect in that assessment. He will come in and try to take back what God's done. You know, he's the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And sometimes he'll take things from us, and we need to take those things back. But there's times where God does something and gives us something and blesses us, and he'll try to come and pull you back from that and reverse that. And so we want to know our enemy, know his strategies, know things that he does to hinder our life. Because we started the year on faith, but what's he going to do when you start stepping out in faith, meditating on the word, confessing those scriptures and believing God for things? Well, he's going to try to come in like Negatron. It would have been nice to have him in there today. But he's going to try to come in there and say, oh, that's not true. That's not true. That, you know, look at this person and that person and this person. You know, our faith isn't based on other people's experience. Our faith isn't based on our past experience. Our faith is to be based on the Word of God. If I believe God and my faith is based on a miracle that I received in my back, and my faith is based on my faith, my believing, or that miracle, my life's going to be a mess. Because my faith has to be in the one who healed me according to his word. It's his word that healed me. It's Jesus, the word made flesh, the word revealed. That's who healed me. And not me, not my faith. My faith is necessary. We've learned that. But the devil will try to come in and try to rob you and steal things from you. And I'm sure everybody in here has known someone who was prayed for, had something happen, and said, I know, I can tell it's God, and then turn around and have it reversed. People that have, I have known of people that have risen from wheelchairs and then go back into that wheelchair within a week or two. I mean, you know, there's just no question. There's a video of a woman who was a minister for years, a pastor's wife, and she hadn't walked for years. At 20-something years. And then she walked. I can tell you the devil tried to come in there and take that away. Now, I have heard nothing that she went back, and believe me, the world would have used that. Satan would have used that had she went back into that wheelchair. And she hasn't. But it was a remarkable thing to see. But I guarantee you he would come and try to do that. And it can be in subtle ways. Like, well, don't sell the wheelchair right away. Yeah, keep hold of that. You might end up needing that. You know, he's so, I mean, he has an arsenal. Let me put it this way. He has an arsenal of weapons, of tools. You know, in the military, You have more than just your weapon, your M16. Don't call it a gun. Don't go to training in a week or two. We need to pray over him before he leaves today. Don't go to basic training and call that a gun. Don't even go there. Your weapon is just one of the things. But you might have hand grenades. You might have M16 semi-automatic, you know, or fully automatic M16A1 fully automatic rifle, but it might have a grenade launcher on it, and it's changing the number of it with that, and to be able to launch grenades farther than you can throw them. You might have a bayonet to be able to fix to your M16. You know, you may have any number of different things, because it's an arsenal. You have tanks to back you up in different things that you do in a battle. It's not just hand-to-hand combat. It's aerial support. And so you have, you know, death from above, they say. The airborne rangers, you know, they're death from above. You know, all these things come together. You have an arsenal. Well, Satan, like a general, has an arsenal of weapons. You know, they're trying to negotiate with North Korea to remove one of the weapons in their arsenal. They're not saying you can't have an army, and they're trying to take away the nuclear part of the arsenal of Kim Jong-un and try to stabilize that region. Okay, Satan has an arsenal of weapons. And what we're going to do in the weeks ahead is we're going to talk about the enemy, how he works, how he functions, things he does. We're going to expose to him, we're expose these things, because knowledge is power. You know, the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. And sometimes you ask amiss because you don't know what the will of God is. People pray, Lord, if it be your will. I didn't pray if it be God's will. We prayed the prayer of faith. We already know the will of God. He's revealed his will in his word, and we want to pray that way. But we can ask amiss. Or we can just be totally amiss from the Word of God, not even asking according to your will. We may be praying, Lord, do this or do that, to, you know, and it's really praying negative things, destruction and stuff like that. Don't be praying destruction and, you know, and things like that over people. Always pray the will of God, the blessing of God. And so we're going to learn how he uses things to hinder our life. If he can't keep you from being a child of God, he's going to try to keep you from being a powerful child of God. And we know, we've learned, that God, he fills us with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it says you will be endued with power. So you already have power in your faith and your spirit when you're saved from being born again, but you've got the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, the power that raised Jesus from the dead is working and mighty and can resist the devil and cast out demons and lay hands on sick people and just do miracles. It's incredible what we have available. Let me ask you this. How many of you have ever heard people talk about the human brain, experts that talk about the human brain? Maybe you've heard Dr. Carolyn Leaf, who's a scientist who studies I forget what you call her, neuroscientist, researcher, but she studies the human brain and is one of a renowned expert on it. Kenneth Copeland had her on quite a bit regularly. She has her own broadcast, and she's on there from time to time. But she talks about the human brain, how it works, and the power of it. But hearing her or even other people, have you ever heard that we only use a small portion of our brain? That they can do scans on our brain and see that most of it's dormant, that it's not even active. And what she does is she shows how your brain will even rewire. And have you ever heard this? Let me ask you this, back up a little bit. Have you ever heard of people who have had a brain injury and lose functions of their voice or physical things, and then have those restored, and yet there was a permanent damage, but the brain rewires itself. And she actually has images and shows these things as a scientist who studies the brain and how they look like trees with branches and new branches form. And there's power in our faith when we speak. When we say things, there's life or death that can come out of our mouth. And there's power that happens. And it's external, but there's also that speaking, that confession of faith. Saying things that for you, it's just saying what God said. Lord, I believe you said this. I believe you're not a liar. I believe it's true. So in the name of Jesus, I'm healed. Even though your body's screaming, you're not healed. But I'm healed. According to the Word of God, I'm healed. And at first, it may just be like, I'm just agreeing with God, what God says. But the more you say it, the more it just gets big inside of you, because faith is being released by hearing, even hearing yourself say the Word of God. And what's happening? Wiring. And you believe that. And you know that your body, because your brain, I just heard that. I did not mean to talk about the brain today, but isn't it something how God will connect things and use us to kind of set up where we're going to go? Because as we change the way we're thinking, identify our enemy, recognize his tools, and then deal with it, not just haphazardly the way we have in our life, we can really operate in victory. We can operate in real power in this world, in this earth realm. But I just heard a podcast from a minister who spoke about this, and I can't remember which one it was. I think it might have been one that's already in heaven. And he was talking about how they've discovered that morphine doesn't actually relieve pain the way that they thought it did. How many of you know morphine is one of the most effective and still prescribed pain relievers there are? And many people have got morphine after a surgery or when they go in initially and get help. And what happens? They have relief, right? But what they've discovered is that morphine actually, the morphine doesn't take the pain away. That what they discovered is that morphine causes endorphins inside your body to be released, and your body, the endorphins, is what takes the pain away. So as scientists have recently been learning this, they've started giving new prescriptions of things that are triggering endorphins to be released, and rather than using the addictive narcotic morphine, they're doing something else that's more direct to that triggers endorphins, and it's releasing more endorphins, and they've been discovering that it's more effective than powerful, what they thought, powerful morphine. Isn't it extraordinary? If any of you have ever run long distance, I've gotten a kick. Chris joined track, and he's going to run a 4x1 relay. But the coach decided that they're going to run with a long-distance guy. I've been trying to get my son to follow in his father's footsteps for a long time, saying you need to be a long-distance runner. It's great. It's awesome. And I ran middle distance, but run long distance, and it'll make you strong and build your endurance, and it'll do all this to help you. And when you're running, you know, quarter mile, half mile, it's just like, you just do it. Well, the coach did it, so now he's doing it. And he's been talking to me. I really like it. At first it's like, oh, I'm sore, I'm tired. But he's like, I'm really liking this. I'm liking it. We run across, there's cities, and then there's countries that we're doing. And he's discovering this. And he's starting to do it. And the longer you do that, when you run long distance, you get what they call the runner's high. See, when you run long distance, I've run marathon and that sort of thing. When you're running there, in the beginning, it can be painful. I mean, you're physically tired, you're physically maybe aching and hurting, and it's like, oh, I just want to stop. But as you, what they call it, you hit the wall where your body's screaming, stop doing this to me, and you hit the wall, you go through the wall, you enter into the runner's high. And it's, if you're running a marathon, it's a lot, you know, the bulk of that. And so once I hit the wall, I felt like I could run forever. Because endorphins, and scientists told us, endorphins are being released and doing that. We can start thinking differently. The Bible calls it meditating on the Word of God. In other words, thinking about the Word of God. Muttering, saying aloud, speaking what the Word says. Thinking Bible, thinking what God says. Meditating on that. And it will rewire and cause you to live more successfully. Satan, his challenge to all of us is to steal, to kill, and destroy, to rob us from what we have available, to get us to think lower. And how many of you, again, God's just going to introduce this, and we're going to pull it in for everybody. I've got a couple videos on my first topic that we're going to show next week. But have you ever heard of, whether it's sports or a salesperson, who they're taught to just speak positive? I can do this. And you'll see successful athletes, successful salespeople, people succeeding in certain areas in life that will look in a mirror or speak, you know, and it's confession. It's the power of confession. A confession, and they'll begin to believe. You know, a salesperson, you're $1 million salesperson, or, you know, it may be you're a $10 million salesperson, or it may be you're $100,000. I don't know what you're selling. If it's, you know, they used to sell vacuum cleaners door to door. Remember that? Anybody ever had the Rainbow person or the Hoover person, you know, come in, or the Kirby guy come in? But you know, you're not going to be a $1 million salesperson with vacuum cleaners, but you might be $100,000 or $200,000 or whatever. Whatever the number is, this is what I am. You're doing that. And they'll rise to the level of their confession of what they're believing. Athletes who I can do this. You know, people say it's willpower. You're willing yourself to do it. You're confessing. You're believing. You're releasing things. And Satan wants to limit humanity. He wants to rob you of your potential. He wants to steal that from you. So let's go to the first verse that tells us that you're like, Pastor, you're going to preach about the enemy, about the devil and what he does? And even more than one Sunday? I don't want to hear about the devil. Folks, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because you're hearing about and you're hearing from the devil every day of your life. But in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse number 8, it says, "For you were once darkness, your spirit was darkness." It was dead. "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." You became a new creation. You became illuminated. "So walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." What is God asking us to do? Walk in light, not darkness, and find out what's acceptable to God. Now, in other words, what's His will? What's acceptable to Him? Let me ask you this question. Where are we going to find what is acceptable to the Lord? The Word of God. It's His will revealed to us. It's His testament. It's His covenant that He makes with us. It contains Psalm 19, verse 7 through 11, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Talks about the beauty, the value of God's Word, the statutes of the Lord, the ordinances of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, and just goes through this beautiful thing of how beautiful and pure they are. Where do we find out what's acceptable to the Lord? In the Bible. And then verse 11 says, you know, don't walk in darkness, walk in light. And it says this, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Well, what's my job as a minister of the gospel, of good news? It's to expose the works of darkness, because we're told to walk in light. And there are believers who are deceived. And Satan has them deceived. And so there's darkness. And in that darkness, there's the picture. You know, if I turned out all the lights in here, and I mean table lamps, all the lights, shut these doors, closed off, the only light you would have in here is the glow around those doors coming through the breezeway. But it would get dark in here, even though it's daytime. And you would have to, you know, that's why I have those lights on, because Christy comes in here, she's cleaning, Grandma walked through here doing something. And, you know, remember when we didn't have any light in here at all? You know, you'd have to find a switch. But if you come in where she comes in, you know, that's why I added this switch to be an extra. But then I just thought, I'm just going to leave lamps on the table. Because you walk in and all of a sudden, you know, you're here instead of here. And it's crunk, you know, and crash because you can't see. In other words, light brings illumination. It reveals obstacles, obstructions, hindrances. That's why we'll take a flashlight when we go camping or a lantern. And so God's Word, His will reveal light. And yet there's this Lord of darkness who wants to keep us in darkness. In other words, to not have revelation. And where there's a lack of knowledge, there's a lack of power. My people perish for a lack of understanding, a lack of knowledge. The Word of God says, God speaking about His own people, that they perish, that they're even dying as a result of not knowing my will. See, if I believe, and I'm going to wrap this up, we're just kind of introducing kind of a concept of how Satan works and this difference between darkness and light. Now, we're going to start next week, just to give you a heads up. We're going to talk about familiar spirits, one of the ways that the devil works. It's a big one in spiritualism and things that are going on in today's society. It's really being embraced and mainstreamed. And so we're going to deal with familiar spirits and what they are. But we're talking generally to set this up, because in the weeks ahead, we're going to talk about different things the devil does, how he works, how he operates. Because familiar spirits, one of the things that it is an imitation of what you saw happen with who was it that had the word of knowledge? Polly, word of knowledge yesterday. God speaking and Satan revealing things that were facts that Linda knew about Polly, facts of her present condition or her past. That's a word of knowledge. And Satan imitates the gifts of the Spirit. And familiar spirits is one of the ways that he'll try to operate. And it's very commonplace. A lot of people are doing this now. But it's about light and darkness. And the Scripture says we should expose the darkness. You know, it's important, and the main emphasis, I don't talk about the devil a whole lot, because we elevate Jesus and we elevate the Lord. And if you have faith in him, that's wonderful. But if you don't, and Jesus himself said to know your enemy, to understand how the devil works. Because if you don't, he can come in and become effective with some of his tools, with some of his arsenal in your life. And you may not be in total darkness, but he'll try to bring darkness to your life as much as he can. And limit, again, your effectiveness, your power, your ability. If he can't keep you from being saved, he'll try to keep you from being effective in living God's will out in this world. You can be a world changer. God wants you to be a world changer. Now, sometimes, you know, that may be, hey, Billy Graham level. But if you have an impact on one other human being, you've been a world changer. If you've led one person to the Lord, from your own testimony, your own witness, or even your example, the light shining in your life, and they saw that and said, what's going on with this Austin guy? This is not your typical teenager. And there's something different about this guy. I mean, teenagers can be foul and corrupt and worldly and just selfish and mean, and he's nothing like that. What's going on in his life? What's making him different? Well, he's a Christ follower. Jesus is his Lord. Well, wait a minute. If God can do that in the life of a teenager, and that's not your normal teenager, then I want that. I've heard of that kind of thing happening. And so he'll try to keep you from being effective. Hey, you love the Lord. You've accepted him. He's your Savior. And no one can pluck you out of God's right hand. So Satan's not going to be able to do that. But man, if he can just keep you from knowing what God's will is, he can minimize your effectiveness in God using you to reach others and to live the John 10:10 life. And that's why John 10, will you turn John 10:10, and we're going to close with that. It's not the plan, but we're introducing the John 10:10 life. We're going to see what I'm introducing, what that's talking about, light and darkness, right? Find out what God's will is and walk in light. You were darkness, but you're not darkness anymore. So don't live in darkness. So John 10:10 gives a contrast. And there's a comma. There's two halves to this. The thief does not come except for to steal and kill and destroy. That's the devil. That's his purpose. That's what he comes to do. He comes not except for to steal, to kill, and destroy. He doesn't come for any good. Then the comma, but I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. The thief comes to take, to steal, to destroy anything good in your life. But I have come that you have life. eternal life and fulfilled life, life in abundance. You can't be abundantly saved. You're gloriously saved. You've become a new creation. But you can't be any more new creation than you are. You can't be any more saved than saved. You were darkness, now you're light. That's reality. You can't be more saved. But Jesus said, not only that you'll have life. So was this referring, oh, that's just spiritual. I'm just talking about your salvation. That, how can you be more saved than saved? But he says, not only that you have life, but you that you may have it more abundantly. It begins with eternal life, salvation. But to live out and have abundant life means life to the full until it overflows. More abundantly is a double amplification of what God's saying. I want you to be blessed, joyful, fulfilled, powerful, successful. And, you know, and as you've heard it said so many times, life in abundance to the full until it overflows. You're so full that it just splashes out on others. Satan tries to keep you from living in that. There's darkness and there's light. Which way are we going to live? We need to know the enemy. We need to know the tools he uses so that we can stop him in his tracks. Because we have power to do it. And knowledge is going to be power for us in the weeks ahead. And some are going to seem like familiar spirits. Ooh, that's big. Well, it's a biggie. But even his little things, the little foxes, spoil the vine. Even little things that we're going to deal with can really mess up your life. And that's what we're going to do in the weeks ahead. Is that okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today, for what you've done today. Wow, God, it's been a glorious day in your presence. And we just want to say thank you, sir. Thank you for all you've done in the lives of people here and what you've done today as well as yesterday and in these recent days. Thank you for being the God that you are, the prayer-answering God, the God who gives life and that more abundantly. We thank you for that, Lord, that we are living the John 10:10 life, life in abundance to the full until it overflows. We give you praise and glory for that in Jesus' name.